When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to a Live and Let Die edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Saturday's Iron Bowl was just like Thanksgiving dinner for so many of us. So much great food to enjoy amongst too many gelatin salads and suspect casseroles. And true to form, the Iron Bowl, are we even calling it that these days, is mostly abstract art anyways. Better to simply enjoy it, or not, for what it is, rather than trying to really understand it. But true to form, we'll take a look, and just like Thanksgiving leftovers, we'll find both treasures and trash. Offense Saturday was, at least early, was mostly in need of therapy. 14 points taken off the board, turning what could have been a 21-7 lead into a 10-7 lead, where Auburn truly felt as if they were in the game, and they were. And that was early in the second quarter. Alabama missed a field goal. That rarely happens. And a toe tap was ruled out of bounds on what would have been a drive maintaining or sustaining first down. And, or maybe but, against impossible self-created odds, the tie broke through on a 4th-and-31 to retake the lead in the final minute, and what ended up being certainly the margin of victory. Jalen Milroe, we're going to start with quarterbacks like we do. Jalen Milroe continued to dazzle even as he experienced growing pains. It was an interesting sort of game for Jalen. He was 16 of 24 passing, 259 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers. He also had 18 carries for 107 yards. Jalen Milroe led both teams in rushing and passing performance. In other words, he was truly the star of the day. He had a beautiful 68-yarder for a touchdown to Jermaine Burton. He had nice touch passes. He's really developing that aspect of his game. And he had a couple throwaways. Early in the season, we were asking, man, just throw it away. Just throw it away. Don't take the ugly sack. Don't take the big bad play. Just throw it away. Live to play another down. And he certainly did that a couple times Saturday. It's nice to see that sort of progress in his game. That's a particular instance of progress that we're observing in his play. He did, inexplicably, have two passes that he threw beyond the line of scrimmage. Hey, look, I love the fact that he's keeping the play alive. I love the fact that he is willing to scramble to keep the passing play alive, and he's made significant plays in that area. So it's hard to get too mad at that, but it's a fine line. It's a shade of gray that is a little harder to distinguish. You got to make the right decision to either let it fly or just a run. And I don't think nearly on both of those occasions, he could have certainly advanced the ball, potentially even got the first down by simply running. These are growing pains. Look, he's really accurate with his passing. He put the ball multiple times just in the right places. He has evolved. He's developed. He is a quarterback in a way that earlier in the season I wouldn't have said that. He's got a lot less reps than a lot of starting quarterbacks that have come through Alabama at this point in their career. And so he is continuing to grow and develop. And this is just sort of the next sort of roadblock that he's run into. The two passes beyond the line of scrimmage, the one was a touchdown to Nyblak that was called back. Alabama netted a field goal there. And so, you know, down four, if you want to call it that. And on the final drive, you know, again, Milroe was over the line of scrimmage when he threw the ball. That one was particularly costly in that Alabama lost yards and lost a down. And so when Milroe connected to Isaiah Bond on what was a 4th and 31, it could have been, I don't want to say should have been, but it could have been a 3rd and 31, in which case you do a different play call. You get, you know, maybe half of it back. And so it would have been a different dynamic at the end. I'm not mad at the result, right? We play, you know, a little bit we get to play results. But in terms of procedure and process, you know, Saban even said it. Hey, we practice it all the time, but you got to be a little bit lucky. Well, Alabama was a whole lot lucky on Saturday. And from a procedural standpoint, you'd rather have the 3rd and 31 so you can chip away at it. But nonetheless, and again, had Milroe run, then it would have been a 3rd and you know, even better than that. So nonetheless, but he continues to progress as a quarterback, and we're certainly pleased to see that as Alabama fans. Running backs outside of Milroe were okay. Jace McClellan had 15 for 66. He had a long of 11. Roydell Williams had 8 for 30. He did have a touchdown. He had also had a long of 11. Roydell was pretty well bottled up, the numbers demonstrate. Jamarian Miller only had 2 carries. Seemed like he was in more than that, but I think he's getting more playing time even when he's not getting carries, which really speaks to the coach's confidence in him and his pass blocking, which has certainly improved. But he had 2 for 7, and he had a long of 5 there. Jace left the game in a boot and on crutches, so that'll be an interesting thing to watch. I'm recording this Monday morning, and so probably in Monday afternoon's presser, Saban will explain or at least provide a little more insight into Jace's injury. Jace has been banged up a little bit. He certainly sat out some practices around the bye week, and I think there was a game there that he may have sat out or participated much less. When that happened earlier this season, that gave an opportunity for Jamarian Miller to receive more reps in practice and really helped him sort of burst on the scene in terms of being in that 3-man rotation. It was kind of a 2-man rotation, and Jamarian Miller had a couple of really good weeks in practice. We talk about a lot of players developing and progressing. We see it most sort of right off the top with Milroe. We see it across the offensive line. But we see it there with Jamarian Miller, that he has progressed as this season has gone on. So it's fun to see that there's some really good coaching going on with this staff, because we see a lot of players that have progressed, that have gotten better as the season has gone on. And Jamarian Miller certainly is one of those players. Well, when he got a little more opportunity in the rotations in practice, it gave the coaches confidence to give him more opportunities in the game. And so I'm not mad at Jace. I'm not going to root for injury. None of that stuff. I'm just saying, if Jace left the game in crutches and a boot, he may well be limited, at best case, limited in practice this next week. We'll see again what the official reports are. That's just more of an opportunity for Jamarian Miller to participate again in practice, more reps, and leading into the game as well. One of the things that we've talked about, and we've talked about since the preseason, is the need for an explosive running back. And as much as we love Jace, as much as we love Roydell, they're good, but they lack that explosiveness, and maybe pre-injury they had some more of it. But Jamarion Miller, I think, can bring that spark. He can bring that dynamic. And so we may, as Alabama fans, we may be, air quote, forced into seeing more Jamarion Miller on Saturday against Georgia. And I don't think that would be a bad thing. That's not me being mad at Jace or Roydell. That's just me saying, and look, go back to last season when we talked about Jamarion Miller glowingly. The kid needs more reps. I'd like to see him get up to 8 or 10 carries on the game. And so we'll see how that plays out. But again, a lot's going to hinge on Jace's health, and we'll know more about that later, even later today before most of you consume this podcast. But that'll be something to keep an eye on. The wide receivers, I thought, had a really good day again Saturday. It was a tighter bench. Only 6 pass catchers caught passes, and I say it that way. We've been tracking sort of the trifecta: wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs are 3 sort of player categories that can receive passes. And Milroe's been interesting because he's hit the trifecta almost every week. We did it again Saturday. Only 6 pass catchers catching balls, and again, all 3 position groups were represented: receiver, tight end, and running back. Jermaine Burton, I thought, had a phenomenal day: 4 catches, 107 yards, a touchdown. Obviously, the 68-yarder was a fun one to watch. Isaiah Bond, or IB, as apparently he goes by, he had 5 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. And of course, the one that will go down in Crimson Flame is the touchdown, the 31-yarder, that sort of sealed the game. Malik Benson, I want to give him a shout out as well. Malik Benson, for my money, from the stands, from the couch, it seems that he has progressed as the season has gone on too. So another player that's just made progress, incremental as it is, but made progress over the course of the season. He only had 1 reception, but it was a key 33-yard reception on what was a 3rd and 17 on Alabama's first scoring drive. So that on 3rd and 17, which is a tough down and distance to overcome, Malik Benson had a 33-yard reception, and that allowed that drive to sustain, which ultimately contributed to a touchdown. So Malik Benson, I'd give him a mini game ball for that, but I've got another one sort of in the hopper for that. But glad to see Malik Benson work his way more and more into the lineup, into the rotation, and being trusted in critical spots like that. That's sort of the key thought in my mind. It'll be interesting. Benson is a speed guy. And so is he a weapon that we really sort of let loose? Obviously we've got the SEC championship, and then whatever the bowl season looks like, whatever that is, it'd be nice to see sort of the reins come off Benson a little bit, because I think he has an opportunity to be a significant weapon for this Alabama team. The offensive line, they were good, but they did not, sort of on the trajectory that we've been tracking, the offensive line did not have their best game ever. And they were on about a 4-game, 5-game run where they were having their best game of the season every subsequent week, at least to my eye. They were good. It wasn't their best of the season. Hey, look, that's going to happen. Trees don't grow to the sky. That type of progress, you don't maintain that type of progress. I thought they played well. They certainly played at a higher level than, as fans, we observed them playing earlier in the season, allowing only 1 sack. I give some credit to the line. I give some credit to Milroe for that. There were 5 tackles for loss. Like to clean some of that up, get that closer to 0. But they gave Milroe time when they needed. And now Auburn, certainly the last play, last offensive play for Alabama, earlier in the game, they started rushing fewer players. They actually rushed 2 on the 3rd and 4th and 31 play. And one of them even looked like he was more of a spy on Milroe than he was even a rusher. So that contributes to the line obviously looking good when you have the numbers advantage. But again, I thought the offensive line played well as a whole. There were a couple of miscues, one a forced error, and one, I think, more of an unforced. J.C. Latham, on a 3rd and 3, Alabama was driving at the Alabama 15. It was a drive that resulted in a missed field goal. J.C. Latham out of the screen, watching it on TV. You're watching the play, and you see J.C. go out of the screen. Now, he's blocking down downfield, and he was called for roughing, unnecessary roughness. And so that was a 15-yarder, drove Alabama, you know, pushed Alabama back, netted in a missed field goal. You have to think those 15 yards maybe would have been a made field goal, and certainly at third and three, an opportunity for Alabama to continue to drive to score. And so I get playing with a passion. I get playing with aggression, getting downfield and making a block. There was no footage, or at least that the TV showed, there was no footage of it because it happened so far out of, like, literally the frame of focus where they're tracking the ball. So that suggests that it was a highly unnecessary play. Although I get the passion, I get the downfield, I get all of that, but we'd like to have that one back. And so there's a little bit of restraint. You want to play to the line, not across the line. Again, not mad at JC. I like his passion. But that's sort of a frustrating miscue that we need to work around. And then, of course, the bad snap. And we've talked about, man, Seth and bad snaps and snapping when the quarterback's not ready. We've got to, you know, as a team, do better at that. It was a critical loss, 18-yard loss. It looked like that was going to be the game. It looked like Alabama pissed the game down their leg at that time. Decent field position, trying to push in that go-ahead touchdown, and we have an 18-yard loss on a bad snap. It very much felt like in the moment that was going to cost Alabama the game. Upon replay, and for all you want to get onto the officials, I know Auburn fans are clamoring and the TV crew about the face mask earlier in the game. Hey, that should have been called. I agree with that. Alabama did sort of get away with one. In the scheme of things, again, you can hurt a player. I understand that. In the scheme of things, I didn't think that was a big deal. It would have been offsetting. It wouldn't have been that big of a difference. Although it was an egregious miss, I certainly would admit to that. I think there were a number of egregious misses from this officiating staff. Our officiating crew, Burton's toe tap. There's, you know, too many to mention. I think there was a personal foul against the Alabama punter. And certainly in this situation with a bad snap, there was a defender running to the line clapping. And sometimes you'll hear a penalty called simulating a cadence. And so in a loud, hostile environment, a lot of teams go to clapping as the signal to snap. And they do that because a clap is a real sharp sound and it sort of pierces through the sound. It's a different sound. If you're saying hut, hut, snap, snap, amongst an overwhelming crowd noise, it just sounds like another voice in the mix. But a loud sort of popping clap sort of pierces through that. And we saw Alabama go to that several years ago with Tua in these types of situations, and certainly before then as well. But there was some conversation about it at that point in time. At any rate, so when the defender is clapping, we've seen that called for Alabama, against Alabama, other teams watching other games. We've seen that called as sort of misrepresenting or sort of impersonating, you know, the cadence, so to speak, which can throw off the offense. And that's exactly what happened. An Auburn defender was clapping as he was running to the line of scrimmage. And the footage shows that multiple Alabama offensive linemen moved, not just the snap, but multiple linemen moved, which sort of signals that, hey, it wasn't Seth just like thinking that he saw or heard something that no one else saw or heard, but multiple offensive linemen thought that was the cadence for the snap as well. So that wasn't called, unfortunately. And all it did was really set up for a bigger, better, more heroic play. But in the moment, dang, you'd love to have that penalty go the other way. Again, we're talking process versus outcome. We love the outcome. And the more sort of impossible it is, the more awesome it is to experience. But man, you'd rather it just be methodical and boring. And nonetheless, it wasn't. And so a lot to overcome there. But those are the two biggest miscues that I saw across the offensive line. And I'm sure there were others, but those are the two biggest. And it's hard to fault, and I'm not just crimson color glasses. Those are two hard things to fault. Now, JC couldn't get a real good clip. They didn't show, but downfield blocking, showing some aggression, and then, you know, simulated snap or simulated cadence, which generally is a penalty, causing multiple offensive linemen to move. It's hard to pin that specifically on Seth, even though he has sort of borne the brunt of bad snaps over the course of the season, which, of course, he's going to. He is the center. All right, mini game ball. Robbie Utes had a key block on a fourth and one Roydell Williams run. Utes just clobbered his man, which opened up the running lane for a conversion there. And so it's fun to see plays like that. And you know, if you're not paying attention, you're tracking the ball, sometimes it's easy to miss. There are plays that sort of, and this is why I like the mini game ball, you know, to call out plays that get lost to history. Malik Benson's 33-yard reception on a 3rd and 17 on Alabama's first touchdown drive. Who remembers that, right? It gets lost to history. It's a phenomenal play that contributed overall to Alabama's performance. Robbie Utes on a simple kickout block was material in helping Alabama convert on a fourth down, and certainly contributed to scoring, you know, the touchdown at the end. And so it's, you know, plays like that are certainly fun to see and fun to call out as we see them.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's flip the field to defense like we do. And I would say, you know, the defense, not dissimilar from the offensive line, was okay, but not maybe fully at the level that that we've been expecting. It was not the defense's best performance, although they did hold Auburn to 4 of 12 on third downs. They limited Auburn to 337 total yards, 93 passing yards, 6 for 17 passing. But I would argue that that's as much Auburn as it is Alabama's defense. Auburn did rack up 244 yards rushing with a 5.8 yard average. So that's not good for the Alabama defense. That's very good for the Auburn offense. It just seemed that the run fits were off all night. Alabama defense did manage two interceptions. Interestingly enough, they were both Terrion Arnold, and one was more of a Hail Mary play to end the half. So the last play of the half was an Alabama interception, and the last play of the game was another Terrion Arnold interception that really just sealed the contest. Oh, I thought he scored. but he didn't, and that would have been delicious had he. The Alabama defense had 4 sacks on the day and 6 tackles for loss. Let's call it some individual plays or individual players like we do. Jalen Key had 7 tackles. Deontay Lawson had 5 tackles and 1 sack. Both were back in the game. They sat out the UT Chattanooga game, having been injured in the, what would that have been, the Kentucky or LSU game. And neither were 100% back to true form. There was some call for, hey, let's get them out of the game. They're not playing up to their full level. And again, I'll play a little bit of result, a little bit of process. Alabama won the game, and so they didn't cost us the game. And I also think there's a little bit of process that says, let's get them into the game. Let's get them, even if they're not 100%, they might be better than the replacement. We can argue that. But getting them back into the game, back in the flow of the rhythm, back at the speed of the play, because we need them to be 100%, not against Auburn. We need them to be 100% against Georgia. And so let's get them live reps under fire in a game that we should have won more convincingly than we did. But let's get them into the game, live reps, live fire, so that they're more ready to go against Georgia. Another week of not playing, another week of limited practice. That's a little more rust than we want to carry into the Georgia game. Again, there's two sides of that coin, and when we can discuss or debate both sides, that's the position I take. But I welcome, send me an email, send me comments, and happy to engage that, because I think there's merit on both sides of the discussion. But it was interesting that those are the two players that led Alabama in tackles, even though they are the two defenders that were not quite 100%. And again, Deontay Lawson contributed to a sack as well. There was a play, I'm trying to remember, the play was kind of over, but there was a defender going to block Lawson and engage with Lawson. And as the play was sort of being tackled, Lawson wasn't going to make the play. And the player ran into Lawson and bounced off. And I thought, man, that's that's kind of interesting. Deontay Lawson's is a tough dude there at the middle linebacker. And again, Jalen Key has been really, really positive for the Tide this season. So I was glad to see them back on the field. I get the idea that they may not have been 100%. But I like the idea of them knocking the rust off against Auburn so they're ready against Georgia. So that's sort of my thoughts on that. Caleb Downs, it's hard not to talk about Caleb Downs. I hate to even say this out loud because now I'm going to jinx it. Next year, we may have to get into a Caleb Downs report. We did the Mosley report, and we did sort of the Q report for a little bit. And Caleb Downs, he might earn that type of position. He had 5 tackles on the day. They were all solo tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He had a pass deflection. Caleb Downs was making plays all over the field. You talk about a tackle for loss, behind the line of scrimmage and in the end zone, he's batting the ball away in sort of deeper coverage. So talking about covering, making plays literally all over the field, that's what you get with the Caleb Downs. He is a tremendous player and certainly going to be a good one to watch over the next couple of seasons. He's only a true freshman, and we talk about, oh, he's going to be a freshman All-America, he's going to be a freshman All-ACC. Those things at this point are a given. What will be interesting is where does he rank on SEC lists? Not freshman SEC, but SEC lists. National lists, I don't know. Is he a third team All-America? That might be interesting. Is he a first or second team All-SEC? Not just freshman, but All-SEC? I think there's a legitimate conversation there. I think he would be at least be a second team All-SEC safety. So that'll be a fun one to watch. And, of course, Terrion Arnold, you got to say, 2 interceptions. He had a phenomenal day. Looked like he got a little dinged up early. He went up. Man, he's just skied for a ball to bat a ball early in the game and just up in the air. And there was nothing nefarious about it, but just up in the air. amongst traffic. He got his legs taken out from under him, and he came down hard. And but he was back out playing and looked really good. He had the two interceptions again, sort of to end the half and effectively to end the game. And man, I thought he scored. Looked like maybe he just barely sort of tapped the sideline as he was running in to score. And yes, I was rooting for that garbage touchdown at the end just to make the score look very different than how the game had played. But alas, that was taken off the board. Mini game ball on defense, and I'm going to bend the rule just a little bit. I'm going to give two. And Dallas Turner, I'm going to give a mini game ball. He's a frontline player. He's a star player. But he made a tremendous play. Early, it seems like early in the game, when he tracked down a ball carrier from behind. Just ran him down. The ball carrier was trying to work around. It wasn't just pure speed outrunning the running back. I don't know that he would have done that. But as the running back was navigating the safety in the corner coming across, Dallas Turner was able to catch up with him and tackle him. And so I don't know that that saved a touchdown on that play or necessarily even that drive. But I like the effort that Dallas demonstrated there, making a play, not giving up on a play, even though sort of he's been passed on the run. But he contributed, continued to exert effort on that play. So mini game ball to Dallas there. And I'm just going to throw another mini game ball at Justin Aboibe. He continues to make plays. He was in on four tackles, and he had a sack on the day. And as you know, listen to us last year, listen to us this year, we're big fans of Justin Aboibe. And so every time he has an opportunity for a shout-out, we want to provide it because, like I say, we're big fans. All right, let's talk about special teams. And, there's a lot sort of to run through here. Again, sort of a mixed grab bag, like you're going to get at a Thanksgiving Day feast, right? Some of the awesome things that you know to love and expect, and just some weirdo concoctions. And that's really what we get on special teams. You know, my rundown, Will Reichert was 2 of 3 on field goals, 3 of 3 of PATs. On the Will Watch Report, Will Reichert is the all-time scorer, which is phenomenal. And so had he made, the field goal, had he made the two field goals, against LSU, he would already be there. But he's guaranteed at least two more games, he's going to get a point, right? Alabama's going to score a touchdown. He's going to get a PAT. He's going to get a field goal opportunity. I feel relatively certain that he's going to get a point there. So we're rooting for that. We're excited about that. And we're right there on the ledge. He's tied with the lead. And one more point is the differentiator there. He made a long of 32. So he had two field goals. One was a long of 32. And his miss was 42. And again, we covered this from the other angle, but the miss of 42 was right after a 15-yard personal foul against J.C. Latham. And so all things being equal, you just knock 15 off of 42, and you're looking at, what, a 27-yard field goal, imminently makeable for Will. And 42 is makeable for him, too. So not sure exactly what happened there, but certainly it's an easier field goal, and that's without even considering that it could have sustained the drive, and Alabama may have even scored a touchdown. So that penalty, I think you could, not definitively, not conclusively, not with 100% certainty, but that personal foul, I think reasonably you could say cost Alabama 3 points, which in the final minutes, we would have loved to have those 3 points. But nonetheless, we'll miss that one, and some stuff to clean up there across the offensive line. James Burnup, overall had a good day. He was five punts for 211 yards, so he averaged 42.2. He had a long of 58. That average of 42.2 is nice. We like that average. That's within sort of a realm of preference or acceptability. However, the first punt was a shank, and it was an 18-yarder, which led to a short field and contributed to Auburn's first score, Auburn's first touchdown. So had that been on average, 40, 45 yards, that would have been a much longer field for Auburn. Maybe the defense would have bowed up and not allowed that score. If you take away, and you can't, I understand how math works, but if you say, how did Burnup play outside of the shank. Well, he averaged 48.3 on the four, what would have been the other four kicks. So he was averaging 48 with a long of 58, absent the shank. And so if the 18-yarder had been 45-yarder, which is well within his capabilities, again, it would have been a different outcome there. So with Reichert and with Burnup, we get some really good, and we get some, that's not what we need. And they both got it, right? And, of course, that's what happens when you play there on the Plains. Caleb Downs, I thought, was kind of meh on the punt returning. He fielded two. He lost 3 yards on those. I don't know what's up with Alabama punt returning this year. It's just not as dynamic as it was last year, even though Caleb did have an outstanding performance against Chattanooga. Kendrick Law, I'm not going to pile on this. He had one kickoff return for 17 yards. Credited for 17 yards is about an 8-yard loss. We've seen more garbage stats than that. So, you know, it is what it is. Jihad Campbell, you know, the fumbled punt recovery was huge. When the fair catch and the ball hits the ground, you possess the ball where you recover it. And so Jihad picked it up and went to run in for a touchdown. And I would have loved for it to have been a touchdown and that be sort of the end of the game. It would have robbed Milroe and IB of their glorious play. But in the moment, I just want it done. I want the points on the board. And so I wish that could have gone for a touchdown. But the possession is great. We'll take the possession and sort of it set up the Alabama win. That fumble recovery, that punt fumble recovery was the play of the day before the play of the day. That's sort of how I think about it. And, you know, big linebacker getting downfield, making that play. That's why Saban puts his best guys on special teams. And that's why they need to contribute, you know, to their effort, right? To their level of capability, because it can make a game defining play. We talked about early in the season that because Alabama is so deep, and this might be the deepest roster that I recall in quite a number of years, because this team is so deep that the talent on special teams is going to be outstanding on teams. And we've seen Alabama teams make plays throughout the season, and certainly this is one. Now, the Auburn fella, you know, I mean, he fumbled it, but Campbell was right there, Johnny, on the spot to pick it up. We've seen punt returners sort of drop the ball and then scoop it back up themselves. I think McKinstry did that a week or so ago. But Jihad Campbell was downfield, ready to make the play, and was right there to scoop that up. And that was a monumental play in the course of events. All right, so what's up next? What's up next for this Alabama squad? Well, you know, as the saying goes, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. All of the Alabama playoff discussions are hinged on one minor detail. That's beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, now that check comes due. Look, it's possible. It's a mighty tall order. And I'm not mad at the Alabama team. I just given a lot of credit to Georgia. I personally have been burned a couple of years, 2 years in a row, I guess, thinking Georgia can't win the title. And they've stacked up two of them. And so I have a hard time sort of betting against them, even though there's a lot of questions in play, right? We hear the media, we hear fans. Georgia hasn't played anybody. Well, we're about to find out. You know, has Alabama progressed to a level that they can compete with one of the more dynastic teams? We're about to find out. Did Saturday drain or galvanize this Crimson Tide team? We're about to find out. All of this will be laid bare Saturday in the Mercedes-Benz Bowl in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. I think it's going to be a physical game. There's no question about that, right? It's going to be a mighty physical game, and I sort of peg this as a 23-20 style game. Starting adding up the scores, I think the defenses are prevalent in the game. I think both teams score below their average as a result. You know, a couple field goals, a couple of touchdowns, that gets you to 20, and it might be a field goal late that makes the difference. So I'm sitting at 23-20. I'm going to say Alabama wins because, you know, that's mostly what we do here. I like there's a resolve, a competitive maturity. It sat out parts of Saturday, but it rose to the occasion when needed. There's a competitive maturity about this team. this team has been in the playoffs, has been in their own sort of personal version of playoffs since week two. And they've acquitted themselves quite well. The team has progressed. We can go up and down the roster about individual instances of seeing the players progress. We talk about a couple of offensive linemen in Caden Proctor. We've got a third team guard that has been phenomenal. Milroe himself. We talk about individual receivers. We talk about a third team running back where we can visualize with our own eyes the progress that these players have made. The Timms on defense, the defensive line. So many individual instances of progress. Trey Amos is another player. Tremendous progress over the course of the season. And so progress for the sake of progress is incredible, and it has led Alabama to this point. It's that progress that has got Alabama to this point. Is it enough to take the next step? That's the question, and I think the answer is yes. I think Alabama wins a close one, 23-20 style game is what I'm projecting. I'd say check us out. I was unable to schedule my own Georgia interview leading up to the game, but the Doghouse podcast reached out and they want to have me on to do an interview. We're recording Wednesday. I think they're a podcast and a YouTube channel, so I'll get the details out on the podcast Twitter account or X, whatever the hell. And so check that out. But we're going to be on Doghouse podcast later this week, and so that'll be fun and that'll be an interesting conversation there. Caleb, not Caleb Downs, but Caleb in the part of the support team, wins the pick on the score pick. And so Caleb predicted 27-17, and the final score was 27-24. And so he nailed the Alabama score, was really close on the Auburn score, and really close on the score differential because so many of us had bought into Alabama's going to roll, and that didn't exactly happen. But nonetheless, hey, if you've enjoyed what we've done this season, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate all of your support in that regard. If you've appreciated what we've done this season, then head out to iTunes or your podcast tool and leave us a review. Check us out. Leave us a review. We love the comments. We love the reviews. Try to get them on the air more recently. We've gotten back to trying to do that. So we'd like to have more reviews that we can get on the air. Certainly, if you have any questions or just interest in engaging with us, drop us an email at Alabama Football Podcast. It's alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on the interwebs at alabamafootballpodcast.com. And meanwhile, check out Factor Meals. Hope you're enjoying the read that they're letting me do. I think I've got another one that I need to record and get out. So those are fun. It's pretty good food. And man, it's half price. And so that's pretty cool. Support the podcast while eating free food. That seems like a good deal. In the meantime, let's get ready for Saturday. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course. Roll Tide.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.